Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to come to you today in this next broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having you on board, joining in our dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not ideological philosophy or some denominational dogma. But what does the Word of God say? Jesus placed a lot of confidence in the Word when he said, "Thy Word is truth," in John 17:17. Prior to that, he had already challenged his disciples when he said, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, the best source book that we can turn to is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the Bible. It has the answer, holds the answer, the guidance and the direction, the illumination for our lives, regardless of the issue that we might face day by day. And we all are going to face them. We each have issues daily that we're faced with. Some call them problems. We call them issues because we face the issues, whether it's in the social, political, or the spiritual realm. God has the answer for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that perhaps you've heard by way of radio or television in the recent days, and that is the question about borders and what border walls can do and the need for border walls. We're going to go a little deeper than that. The question is today, the statement in question, heaven has walls, gates have open borders, hell has open borders. Heaven has walls and gates. Hell has open borders with no visa required to enter. We're going to talk about that, but we're going to look at the broader picture first. It seems, ladies and gentlemen, there's an ongoing, never-ending debate about the protection of our citizens on the southern border, and not just the southern border, but the protection of America on the southern border by way of a border wall and border security protects all of America. But the socialist Democrats, led by Nancy Pelosi, simply reject anything that's called a border wall. In fact, Pelosi said she wasn't going to surrender a dime, not a dollar, to build a border wall. In fact, Nancy Pelosi has been so bold as to say a wall is an immorality. I don't know where she gets that. Maybe it's in Hezekiah 4:4. Try to find that in your Bible. But anyway, I don't know where she finds that, but she says that it's an immorality to have a wall. But yet Nancy Pelosi and the other socialist Democrats are for abortion, murder by way of abortion, even up to the date of the delivery of the child. The socialists have attempted to block every attempt by President Trump and every effort that he's made to protect America from the entry of the gangs and the rapists and the sex traffickers and the murderers and the robbers that are causing great harm and danger for America. But I am surprised when Nancy Pelosi says the wall is an immorality. God doesn't believe a wall is immorality. In fact, Jerusalem has a wall about it. When there was a need to rebuild the wall because the enemy's destruction of the wall, God chose Nehemiah to build the wall, and Nehemiah did so. In fact, in Nehemiah the 6th chapter, verse 15 and 16, an interesting two brief verses. Nehemiah said, "So the wall was finished in 20 and 50 days on the month of Elul in the 50th and the second day." Verse 16 says, "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things. They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work of building the wall was wrought of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Nehemiah rebuilt that wall in 52 days. He used 49,942 people to do the building. And you study the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah, you find it's because there was a coordination of the work and the effort. Chapter 2, you find that they had a mind to work and a heart to hear. Chapter 4, you find that they worked and watched at the same time. They were armed while they were working because the enemy is trying to tear down and destroy. In fact, Dr. Robert Jeffers says God is not against building a wall, and he had a special message about that not too long back. And he said Israel has been in bondage for decades, had been in bondage for decades, and the infrastructure of the country was in shambles, and God did not choose a politician or a priest, but chose a builder instead. The first step of rebuilding the nation, Dr. Jeffers says, was the building of the wall around Jerusalem to protect its citizens from the enemy's account. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where you call murder by way of abortion okay. You call open borders all right. But if you talk about building a wall to protect our nation, then the loose lax lost liberals on the left, the socialist Democrats, say that it's immorality. But, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the major, major problem, the major emphasis that we're watching play out in society today, the socialist Democrats are only looking for mega millions of additional voters for the 2020 election. They're not interested in right or wrong. They're not interested in hurting America or harming America. They're not interested in the outlying danger of that. They're simply interested in power and retaining the power at any cost. The truth is that the majority of the Americans want President Trump to protect our citizens. The majority of the president's goal of protecting the citizens is something that ought to be viewed as needful and necessary in America today. Here's an article that says the Democrats' alternative to Trump's wall blasted by privacy groups. This article is a pretty elongated article. I'll simply summarize and abbreviate it for you. It begins with saying the Democrats' alternative to President Trump's border wall plan of is a high technology wall that includes surveillance, and it's getting a sound round of criticism from privacy groups. Quote, it's time to tell Congress don't put money in the budget for expanding surveillance at the border. According to the Electronics Frontier Foundation, the organization, along with several like-minded groups, fears that mass surveillance at the border would threaten civil liberties for us all. And it goes on to talk about the fact that as thousands of people enter through the gates the proper way, the border gates coming into America, as they're traversing through those borders, legal citizens that have gone out of the country coming back in wind up being surveilled and the documentation stored. And he goes on to say in this article, unfortunately, the Fourth Amendment protections we enjoy inside the U.S. for our devices aren't always as strong as when crossing the border. On the other hand, the border is not a constitutional free zone. What are the limits as to how much the customs and immigration officials can access from our data that they're storing? And it goes on to talk about them trying to come up with some plan that would be countering what President Trump is wanting to do in the protection of our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, the whole thing is this. We have a major, major, major power struggle in America today being played out through Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Socialist Democrats, along with the Islamic Democrats that are now on board, trying to segment, segregate, and separate us from being the protectors and joining side by side with the nation of Israel. I don't know where that's going, but I do know we're in trouble when we start putting Islamics in the House and the Senate to make decisions for America when they reject the Constitution, they reject the Word of God, they reject morals and ethics and values of the United States citizens and our constitutional free republic. But ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place. And the truth is that, as I said a moment ago, the majority of Americans really want to see President Trump succeed and get the border wall built. Even the Pope has come forward and said that he believes that a border wall would be unchristian. Ladies and gentlemen, The Great Wall around China was built in about 400 to 500 BC. The Pope lives in an armed, guarded community with a high wall. President Obama lives in a tax-paid, if you please, villa, 20,000 plus a month, with a walled armed security surrounding it. Israel has high walls, and it's proven 99.9% effective in keeping the enemies out of Israel. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset somehow that it's unchristian to have a wall, or it's immoral. As Pelosi calls it, it's an immorality to have a wall. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the majority of the anti-Trump, anti-wall politicians live in homes with armed security, armed guards, and a tall wall to protect them. Why do we have a wall? Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question if you want to ponder it for a moment. By the way, you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, at any time during the course of this broadcast, get you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones. We can have the dialogue and discussion. Why do you have a door on your home? Why do you have a lock? Why do you lock the doors and windows, especially at night? It's not because you hate those on the outside. You just want to protect those that are on the inside. You want to make sure that you're secure. And the same is true with a security border for America. The primary responsibility of a president is to protect American citizens from any outside intervention, intrusion, or any inside harm or danger for our citizens. That's his responsibility, constitutionally. But yet we have those that are questioning about the wall. But how many of you would leave your home unlocked? How many of you would leave your door swung wide open? It's because the wall or a gate or a door or a lock provides security and protection. Should all of the border be protected? Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that it's time that we wake up and, as I call it, smell the roses, smell the coffee and see the roses and understand the danger, the problem. I have an article here that is absolute frightening to me, and it is absolutely shocking. The title of the article says, Southern Baptists joined with Nancy Pelosi to defund the wall. That's bad enough to find that there's an embrace of the Sodomite lifestyle from the top down in the convention. But now to discover that the Southern Baptists joined with Nancy Pelosi to defund the wall. Here's the article. Let me just read you a couple of brief statements from it. The National Association of Evangelicals, called the NAE, is a network of Christian groups with a globalist open borders agenda that supports amnesty for the illegal immigrants and opposes traditional conservative political ideology. Nancy Pelosi and Russell Moore, subtitled. Russell Moore, head of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, known as the ERLC, strongly endorses this organization, which is tied to Moore's Evangelical Immigration Table, a George Soros-funded institution, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Increasingly, the supposedly conservative Christian Association invited arguably the most liberal politician in American political office today, Nancy Pelosi, to not only talk about immigration, but also about faith. This article says, with another government shutdown looming in the near future, if a deal isn't reached between the White House and Congress, Pelosi is leveraging support from the evangelical community to put pressure on President Trump to abandon his support for the border wall. If not for the common political reasons, why else would God-hating liberal Democrats be invited to address a room full of conservative Protestant evangelical leaders? Then the statement is quoting Amos 3:3. How do we walk together unless we first be agreed? I am frightened and shocked to death by that, ladies and gentlemen. Just shows you the increasing power and the control through the liberal Democrats, the socialist Democrats on the left, trying to undermine President Trump in every fashion that is possible. It is the shock of all shocks to me that even the Southern Baptist Convention has joined with Nancy Pelosi to oppose the building of a border wall. It is disappointing to say at least that the Southern Baptist Convention is now abandoning what I call the security of our nation and joining with the ranks of the socialist left, joining hands with Nancy Pelosi and her push to be in complete control of making America a socialist nation. But ladies and gentlemen, there's still hope. There's still hope. We have a few across America that's willing to take a stand and speak up. The few across America today that even in their little corner of the world, they're willing to face the chide and the challenge and the demeaning statements by others by simply making a profound statement about a wall. There's the strong vocal voice of some that's so needed in society today. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear for the Christian. We're to be salt and light. That means we're to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. We're to be the, if you please, the salt in a decaying, darkening society. We're to be the light in a darkening world. And there is hope when you find something like this, ladies and gentlemen. And this dear business owner owns a chain of grocery stores in Arkansas and perhaps other states, I'm not sure. But a grocery chain in Arkansas has ignited major controversy simply by stating some obvious facts about a border wall. Let me just read you a portion of this article. I find it enchanting, intriguing, encouraging, and a little point of pun in a way that we need to understand today. It says, grocery chain, heaven has a wall, hell has open borders. Max Fresh Market, M-A-C apostrophe S, Max Fresh Market. At a time when virtually everything is being publicized, not even food shopping has joined the club. A family-owned Christian grocery store in Arkansas has ignited controversy with flyers connecting the national debate over a border security wall to the beliefs of millions of Christians. The message from Max store that's more sizzling than a summertime barbecue states this: heaven has a wall, a gate, and a strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders. Let that sink in, he said. Some customers, the article says, find the wording in bad taste. Some customers say, it just doesn't make sense. Tyler Reed told the news media, why would you put that out like that on a publication for your store? But others find it suits their palate very well, the article says. One person says, I didn't have a problem with it at all, as Logan Reed told the station. If you want to come here, that they can, but you need to come into our nation legally. The manager of one location, Jack Digby, admits people have been calling about the matter. He said they're just making a political spin out of it and getting the wrong idea of what it really means, he told the station. He added the store owner is behind the message, which was intended to be the voice of a Christian, and the connotation is that we stand for biblical truth. He goes further to say, I'm the company and I'm for God. This is what the person says that's that particular manager of that particular branch. He says, I'm for the company and I'm for God. There's nothing wrong with what the statement says. Ladies and gentlemen, I watched the owner of that grocery chain this morning as he was being interviewed on Fox News. And he says, I'm a Christian and I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of it. I'm guessing the man was probably 75, 80 years old, up in years, but staunch on his faith. He says, I love Jesus and I want the world to know it. Having a wall is all right, because after all, heaven has a wall and a strict immigration policy, but hell has open borders. And he's exactly right. We're going to look at the scripture about that in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. But I want us to understand that we need more people that's willing to take that kind of stand and say exactly what this man is saying. So what about heaven? What about heaven? Does heaven have a wall? Does heaven have walls and gates? I find it absolutely true that it does. In fact, let me read you a verse or two in Revelation chapter 20, talking about the new heaven and the new earth, and the 21st chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 12 and following. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And it goes on to talk about the east gate, the west gate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And verse 16 says, the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth being the height being equal. And he measured the wall thereof, talking about the wall around heaven, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man that is of the angel that's speaking. And ladies and gentlemen, that if you take the cubits and you transition that into feet, you find the wall that's around that place called heaven is 214 feet high. It has 12 gates, and it requires special visa, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, to get in. You can't just decide you're going. You have to enter the wall with a special visa, and that special visa is being blood-bought, Bible say, born again. The 27th verse of Revelation chapter 21 says, "And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Ladies and gentlemen, that's your visa. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? That's the key. That's your visa. That's your entry passport into that place called heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, there's another place, and that place is called hell. And that place called hell doesn't have a gate. It doesn't have a visa requirement. It doesn't have security guards at the gate. Anybody can enter in just by rejecting Jesus. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
I believe that President Trump, I believe he realized that a lot of the hatred and attacks that has been going his way, it's not so much because he's hated, but because he's interfering with the agenda of the left. And the sooner America wake up, because America has been really been careless, doing things that they ought not to be, that they don't realize what is happening. So the whole idea about it, when they like Nancy and the others who said they believe in building the wall, Obama and everybody, they only said it because in lying and deceiving. They didn't have any intention for the walls to be built. They just said, because that is their strategy, lying and deception. Tell the lies long enough. So the problem now is that they didn't expect any president would dare to come and carry it out. So they could play with saying they're going to build walls and they're going to, but now that he come and dare to be wanting to do it, then all hell break loose. Because they do not, America need to know that what they're telling these people, like who coming, that they're telling them that Americans are behaving like the country belong to them. And the country don't belong to them. Everybody's supposed to be free to go where they want. This is the argument. This is what they're doing. So it's invasion. And America is in trouble unless we wake up to realize what is going on. They don't want any borders because they're working towards the one world government, and they need to, especially America, need to be cut down, need to be gotten rid of, to be destroyed somewhere or the other. So this is what the agenda, and this is what they're working on. There are young people in schools, if they don't teach them anything else, they make sure to indoctrinate them on what socialism, indoctrinate them on how wonderful socialism is. And so
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. What they're doing in our schools today is an atrocious. It should be condemned by every citizen in America today because it's brainwashing. It's not teaching our Constitution. It's not teaching anything about the founding documents and our founding fathers, that we are not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. We are representative form of government, but yet they're being brainwashed. But the major problem is that they're objecting to what God has ordained in the Scripture. In fact, the Bible speaks of having walls some 245 times in the Scripture. And to call that immoral is an ungodly slam against the Word of God and against God Himself. But you're exactly right. We need to recognize that there's a ploy and a plan and a plot being carried out. And the thing that is so sad to me is that the majority of these organizations that's pushing for that, that's locked arms with the Socialist Democrats, happens to be a George Soros-funded organization using his mega billions of dollars to make a one-world order, one-world government with an open-border society, which is what George Soros is pushing for. But I really appreciate your call. It's been a blessing to hear from you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject, that heaven has gates, and heaven requires a special visa to get in, but hell is an open border society. And we've just looked at the fact that heaven has gates, 12 gates. Heaven has a 214-foot wall, and it prevents those that are on the outside from getting in because they don't have the proper visa, the proper document. That is, they're not saved. But hell is an open door, open borders policy. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and following, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And it's talking about that place of destruction, which is none other than that place called hell. Ladies and gentlemen, in hell, it's a place of absolute damnation. We find in Psalms 99, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. We find in Matthew 23, verse 33, the serpent, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? It's very, very clear in the scripture. And hell is a place that is forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they are there for eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a place that is forever. Hell is a place that is for the ones that are lost and without Christ. Hell is a place that there is no return. And yet we find those today saying that somehow, some way, that borders are wrong and building a wall is wrong. And yet heaven has a wall. Heaven has 12 gates. Hell has an open borders policy. In fact, in Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, we read about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and went to hell, and Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, indicative of that place that the scripture refers to sometimes as paradise, and other times it is called heaven. And the scripture says in Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, and the 23rd verse and following, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It is amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that we find it so, how would you say, offensive to talk about a wall to protect the southern border. And yet God's word is very, very clear that walls are here to protect us, just as he allowed and directed Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And he used 49,700 and some odd people to do that, and he did so in 52 days. And I find it also an interesting fact, ladies and gentlemen, that because of the border wall and because of some that had filed suit against the Trump administration for doing so, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Ninth Circuit, many have called it the Ninth Circus, for rightly so, but they just rendered a decision yesterday. Let's see, was it yesterday or Friday? It was recent couple of days that where some in San Diego County in California had filed suit. The environmentalists said they would disturb the environment to build a wall. And the most liberal court in America ruled that President Trump has the authority, notwithstanding anything that'll be called environmental upset, that he has the authority to build the wall, even in the place where the environmentalists said that he could not. It is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, that we will find victory in our president taking the tenacious stand that says we are going to build the wall. Now, I understand recently there's been a movement by way of negotiation with the left and the right in the House that they've come up with a plan that will give him a little token for building the wall. It is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that he will accept that token and then turn around and declare a national emergency and get the balance of the funding that's needed and build the wall, because the wall is what is needed to protect America. Just as the wall and the gates in heaven protect the outside from getting inside because of not having the proper visa, hell has open gates with an open border and anyone can enter. But it's my prayer today, ladies and gentlemen, that you will enter in the straight gate, the narrow gate, that you'll have the proper visa and the proper passport to enter into that place called heaven. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.